Let us pray. Lord, our God, send your amazing grace into our hearts this day and fill us with your love and the hope of your gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. A wee story to start with. There was once a young woman who was training to be a nurse. And after a number of weeks in the role of student nurse, one of the professors in the college set them all a little test. The final question had most of them completely stumped. And one of the students, rather cheekily, put up her hand and asked the professor if they would be graded on the last question. What was the question? Well, the question simply asked what the college cleaner's name was. The professor said that he thought the last question was in fact the most important, because in their working lives as carers, they would encounter all sorts of people, from the seemingly very ordinary to those who were high and mighty in the eyes of the world. He also explained that every person ought to be treated with the same care and consideration, as all were equal under God. In any case, he added, sometimes the things we don't notice are the most important. For example, the cleanliness of our surroundings. That day, the students learned perhaps the most important lesson of their career, and they also learned one other very important thing. You've guessed it, that the cleaner's name was Dorothy. Our reading from Habakkuk begins with a complaint and a question to God. My goodness, we are good at complaining in the church. In fact, as a society, as a race, we're good at complaining. And we are not good at waiting. The prophet was fed up waiting for justice, waiting for an answer to his prayers, and seemingly getting nowhere. God answers him at length, and you can read the entire answer at your leisure later on. Suffice to say that although God didn't appear to be answering Habakkuk's prayers, he was indeed working his purposes out on a different timeline to the one that the prophet was hoping for. But nevertheless, the prophet's prayers had been heard. When God seems to be silent, it can be hard to believe that his purposes will eventually triumph. You will maybe remember the story of Terry Waite, the former envoy of the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was kidnapped in Lebanon and held as a prisoner for almost 5 years. Terry Waite later explained how he'd been helped in his time of waiting by a postcard that he'd received in captivity bearing a picture of John Bunyan. Bunyan, the 17th century author of Pilgrim's Progress, had himself spent 12 years in prison for his beliefs. At times our faith is challenged and we share the cry, "How long, O Lord?" Yet as people of the resurrection, as God's saints here in this place, we have a reason for hope and can trust that the light will eventually shine. And sometimes that light shines through the most unlikely of people. Our second reading today tells the story of one of those unlikely people, a little man. He was little in stature, but even littler in the eyes of his peers, for he wasn't just ignored like Dorothy, he was hated. Just like the tax collector from last week's story. November is the season when we remember people, the important people, and also the little people. People of all shapes and sizes who have shaped the world we live in today. There's Remembrance Day, when we remember all those mostly ordinary people who fought in the many wars our world has seen. But we also have All Saints, which has just passed, when we remember those others who've gone from our midst. Someone asked me recently if I believed in saints, and I said I did. I didn't mean necessarily those who've been officially designated as saints by the church, although I do think that these special people offer us a wonderful example to follow. However, just as there are many people who've been recognised officially as saints, there are many, many more unsung heroes of the faith that quietly got on with their calling, expecting and needing no special treatment or accolades. Some of these people were unable to hide their light under a bushel, no matter how much they tried. People like Mother Teresa come to mind. People who exhibited true humility and who laid aside all personal concerns to serve others. And there are also people like Zacchaeus. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus saw into his heart and saw the good that was there. Jesus called him down from the tree, ate with him, and Zacchaeus was a changed man after that meal. His life had previously been focused on the accumulation of personal wealth, but he immediately pledged to give half of his possessions to the poor. Moreover, Zacchaeus pledged to provide fourfold restitution to any whom he had defrauded. And in so doing, Zacchaeus was doing far more than was required under the Torah, under the law of the day. This was a free and a heartfelt response from a man who had been found by Jesus. It's symbolic that the meaning of his own name was then fulfilled. Zacchaeus, the pure, had also found his true self, discovering God's intentions for his life. Now, what stands out for me today is that Jesus knew his name. He was found and he was accepted and loved as he was. If we are to bring people to Christ, and it may be the most unlikely of people that God wants us to welcome, we need to invite them, to accept them, to welcome them, and to know them by name. How do we, as God's saints in this place, bring others to Jesus Christ, and in so doing, change the world? Well, we do it one person at a time. We pay attention to the little people, not just those of small stature, but those of seemingly no worldly influence. And today, that includes the very young, the elderly, those with a disability, the despised, the sick, the lonely, all of the people that the world tries to hide. And we don't get discouraged like the prophet Habakkuk because we can't manage to get it done before tea time. God does have a plan and we are part of it. We are all important. God has given us this place and these people around us for a reason. But his time is not ours. And we may not see the results. We have to continue to step forward in faith, as the hymn says, for all time is in God's hands. God can and will change the world. And we are called to be a part of that new creation. Now that sounds like an offer we can't, or at least we shouldn't, refuse. Amen. Thanks be to God.